Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we are finishing up our dance movies with episode 34. I think that everyone's been waiting for this one, Jeremy.
Yes, I think this is... It's a big portion of, like, long-standing gags about how you name your movies.
I think it's the sequel to end all sequels. I think this is the Citizen Kane of sequels.
What?
And I don't mean by quality. I mean by the way that everyone is assuming or synonymous with sequels.
Yes.
And that is Breaking two, Electric Boogaloo. That's my dancing.
You can't see us popping and locking.
Yeah, I'm popping and locking.
Where they do a lot of like... They constantly look like they're seizing up.
Yeah.
They're like... Like, is that a dance?
I think people are looking forward to this one. I know. Both you and I have never seen the first movie.
No, we haven't.
This was an experience, to say the least.
Yes.
I've never seen a movie like this before, nor will I see a movie like this ever again.
You know, I think that... I will say that it reminded me of... it reminded me a little bit of The Apple.
Oh, it reminded me of an acid trip I took once.
But no, it reminded me of these. So for those of you who aren't
familiar...
It
reminded you of another shitty movie? Come on.
What? That movie? I love that movie.
Oh, I love The Apple.
But it's they're both Golden Globus.
Okay.
And it seems like, whereas the other one was more focused on singing and it had some dancing with
sure.
it.
Sure.
This is kind of the other way around, where it's like dancing and the singing is kind of incidental.
Yeah, sure. When we watched this movie, I just kept going, my God, this is wonderful.
Yeah, right? I was
too. Like, my mouth was wide open.
Yeah.
But I think before we get into it, I think we're going to take a few messages, promote a podcast or something.
Yes.
Shall we?
Yeah.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the trailer for Diminishing Returns, the podcast about sequels, prequels, spin-offs, and reboots. I'm Chris Scott, and across from me is the man with the stats, Mr. Alan Johnson.
That's right. With more than half of the films on 2015's highest grossing top 10 being sequels or prequels, and only twice since 1999 has the highest grossing film of the year not been part of an existing franchise. We look at what followed, what came before, and we'll sort this Godfather 2s from the, well, the Godfather 3s.
Here at Diminishing Returns, we will be guiding you through a serious examination of sequel culture. Clyde the monkey.
Orangutan.
What,
an ape, doesn't
what,
have a tail.
What am I, a zoologist? Educational as well, this podcast.
You have picked it up watching Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Monkeys. We'll be answering the questions on everybody's lips.
Where does the pollen go?
You can find us on Facebook as Diminishing Returns Podcast. You can follow us at Twitter at Diminishing Pod. Email at diminishingpod@gmail.com.
So if you're serious about cinema, subscribe to Diminishing Returns, the Thinking Man's Film Podcast.
I'm never going to watch these films.
No, anymore. I actually hate you for making me watch them.
You put Maze Against Inc. 2 on the
list. You're the one that said, let's do a podcast about sequels.
So you think you know what Dirty Harry's up to? Take another look.
Coming soon. Marvel's recent hit Deadpool reminded us at Diminishing Returns of the final outing of one of cinema's most iconic characters.
Clint Eastwood is Dirty Harry. He just learned a new game, the Deadpool.
Diminishing Returns, the Thinking Man's Film Podcast.
Boobs.
Silence. And we're back.
Yes. Check out those guys. Those guys gave us a shout out on their latest episode on Diminishing Returns.
Yep.
Said that they were happy that we played their promo, so we played their promo once again.
Yes, because we love the attention.
Yes. And they did a Grease 2, and I think if you go back to our Grease 2 episode, I think we played our promo on that one.
Yeah.
Because they did Grease 2 as well.
Yes.
So, but this movie is Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
And let's drop the deuce, Jeremy.
All right.
We're breaking in. We're doing this.
Yes, we are. So break into Electric Boogaloo. What's to be said? So the movie's about an hour and a half long, and probably what, 2/3 of that is dancing.
A lot of it is dancing.
Yeah, but thankfully that works out in our favor a lot of times.
Yes, it does.
But you know what? I will say this compared to like. Step up to the streets. I will say with that one, I was like, oh, look at him dance. And then this one, yeah. There was a few times where we were like, whoa, what the hell?
A little bit. I think in the streets was more like, wow, how they do that.
Yeah.
So.
And this was more of like, they were just being crazy.
Yeah. It was more like, what is going on exactly?
Yeah.
It was very head scratching.
I almost enjoy.
Kind of, too, sometimes. Obviously, this movie was made for kind of children, in a way.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
To some degree.
Okay. Let's drop it.
Okay. So now we're opening on somebody, starting a boombox playing, and slowly we see more and more hands and arms and legs just popping and locking, and eventually we're just watching people break dancing all over the place.
Right.
And, you know, it's people doing stuff that they, I don't know about you, but the one breakdance move that always mystifies me is when they're, like, on one hand.
One hand or one knuckle.
Spinning their whole body
around. They're spinning
there.
Around, yeah. They do that a lot in this movie, kind of an ad nausea effect, but, yeah, I like that.
Well, if you have to fill up, you know, an hour worth of dancing, you're going to see that a couple times.
Boy, they are filling a lot of things in this movie.
But, no, I'm always mystified when I see that, so there's plenty of it to see. But we eventually transition over to some sort of, like, stage production.
Right.
With showgirls and these guys in purple suits.
Yes.
That are dancing, and it just seems really weird, like, all of a sudden we're on the street.
Right.
Dancing.
Right, and now we're in the theater.
And now we're, like, in this theater, like, production.
Yeah.
It just seems very odd, and so this chorus line leaves the stage, and there's this man wearing a purple suit just walks straight up to this dancer lady and says, I'm sure glad the show is over. And she's like, yeah, me too. Do you have any other gigs lined up? No, I think I'm going to take a break. Like, it was the weirdest scene. It was just
that
wasn't them.
Kelly?
That was Kelly.
I was going to say, that was Kelly.
Yeah, it was just
that is our heroine Kelly.
Yes. So that was just them delivering really wacky.
Yeah, no. We never see that character ever again.
Yeah. Like, it didn't need it. You could have done that, exposed that dialogue somewhere else.
We really didn't need it, but whatever.
But it's Kelly, who is played by the star Lucinda Dickey.
Lucinda Dickey.
Yes.
Who's like Ninja 3 something movie. Yeah. Another Golden
Globus.
Lots
of Golden Globus movies.
Yeah. Yep. Lots of.
So she's the guy asks if she has any other gigs. She says no, but she decides in the meantime that she's gonna head home. So we see her driving up in her nice sports car to her parents' lavish mansion.
Right, she's rich.
Yep, she.
Well,
is
her
rich.
Family
she comes
is.
From money. Yeah. So, and so when she gets there, she's kind of just hanging out. And her father is just standing around while, like, Kelly's basically just sitting like a punk on this railing.
Yeah.
He says now that she's done with dancing, he'd like her to reconsider his offer to send her to Princeton.
Okay, yeah,
because
yeah.
she's a smart girl, so she should go.
You're a smart girl.
And so he wants to send her for 4 years. Of course, she declines and says, you know, I'm not done dancing. I'm just taking a break, like, between my show and my next thing.
Hey, what happened to that lawyer that you used to hang out with?
Yeah, right? And
Derek.
So, yeah, the dad asks about her old boyfriend, Derek, whatever happened to him. So Derek is a lawyer, and he wanted to marry. He says he wanted to marry you. And Kelly informs her father that Derek was a nerd.
Derek's a nerd.
So that's why she doesn't want him.
Yeah.
Kelly's mom, in the meantime, who
this is about 15 minutes into the movie.
No, this is
five minutes of the movie. Okay, so 5-10 minutes into the movie, Jeremy pauses it and says, well, at least it's visually appealing. And I'm like, let's see if that holds up, Jeremy.
Well, and it was, like, it was very bright colors.
It was very colorful.
Yeah. Well, so they're talking to Kelly's mom, who is like the most heinous of cranks. Like, she seems really bitchy and
not as bitchy as like the dad. Crabby. The dad's
but
terrible.
Her, they made her like, oh, the dad is just flat out awful. Huh? But they give her that very like, everything I say is backhanded.
Everything.
Yeah. And she says, well, at least she's not hanging around with those street people. And Kelly asks why they can't just relax when the mother creepily chimes back, we are, dear, with her best, like, Stepford Wives kind of weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
But Kelly goes to her room, and she looks at some posters of, it looks like her.
Her old dance
and
crew.
And her old dance crew.
Her old dance crew.
As we see pictures and we see posters on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so her dance crew is comprised of.
Her.
At least I think it is. It's comprised of her.
And two African-American gentlemen.
Yes. Ozone,
mm-hmm.
who is played by Adolfo Shabadoo Quinones.
Yeah.
And
no relation
Turbo.
No relation to John Quinones from What Would You Do on ABC.
And Turbo, who is played by Michael, not
shrimp,
joking here.
Shrimp Boy?
No, not Shrimp Boy.
What was his name?
Michael Boogaloo Shrimp.
Oh, Boogaloo Shrimp.
Chambers.
Yeah.
Boogaloo Shrimp and Shabadoo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That sounds like a bad cop show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very bad cop show. But this is the part where I was kind of like, actually, this is the part where I was kind of like, oh, look, because now we cut to a yard with all these children playing and like running around. And there's this kind of like, I don't get what Ozone and Turbo like live in.
I don't either. It's like some shack.
It's like a shack. With like a Murphy bed in it.
With one bed that like comes out of
yes.
the wall.
And so I don't get what the deal
and
is.
And a doll.
And a,
that
and,
later.
And like some sort of 1980s version sex doll thing.
I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll talk about that later.
Felt? It is now. So but this is a part. There's a lot of bright, vibrant colors to
there
this.
There is. There's, it's, I like it a lot.
And honestly, for the time period, the camera, like the, it's pretty, got a pretty good, you know, equipment that filmed it.
Crispness?
Yes. Yeah. I would say very crisp. I never felt like, you know, sometimes you see movies where they're just very grainy
yeah.
in there. It, none of that. It looked very, very, very crisp. So Kelly drives up in her car, and she gives, jumps out, and Turbo and Ozone, of course, are happy to see her. She gives Turbo a big hug and then kisses Ozone. So I assume.
We assume that they're together.
Together in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
About that time, neighborhood kids start running up to just greet Kelly.
Kelly! It's Kelly!
Yeah, they're very excited. So she obviously is important to the neighborhood.
Right. Obviously, was Kelly in the first movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kelly.
I mean,
was
we
the,
don't know.
Kelly
I assume
the,
she was.
She's on the. So the one that we had, we bought a Blu-ray. Yes, we have this on Blu-ray.
Well, you can't stream it anywhere.
No, you can't stream it.
Not even the first movie.
Uh-uh.
So we bought it. We found it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to find a Blu-ray movie, it's going to be the double disc of Breakin' and Breakin' 2 Electric
Correct.
Boogaloo.
It well worth it.
Well worth the crispness.
It's
of
worth
the
it just to have it. Even if you never watched it, I'd be like,
come on.
I would be like, good, look what I have in my collection.
Okay.
So, but yeah, she was on the images for the first one, so I assume she was
okay.
in both. So, the kids start showing Kelly their best moves. So, like, they're popping and locking, too.
Yeah.
And then more people run out and tell her that Ozone and Turbo have been teaching people in the neighborhood how to dance.
Yeah, check us out.
Yeah. And then this guy just starts rapping.
Just starts rapping.
Yeah. And he's, like,
and
talking
music
about, like,
starts appearing.
Yeah, and he says, you know, we should go dance in the streets. So then I proceeded to. So then I proceeded to write a whole page about this dance.
Oh, why?
Because I was so intrigued by it. At one point, like, halfway through, we stopped it.
You looked at me, yeah. And I had the biggest grin on my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. We just stopped it. We're like, what's going on? Yeah.
I love it.
It was amazing.
They're going through the neighborhood, and one by one, the neighbors all start to join them.
They're like, yeah. So, like, there's neighbors that are flipping down the street. There's people
like
who are,
utility guys on poles.
Yeah. The utility guy. And he has one of those, like, strap things where they climb up with, and he's kind of dancing with that. There's a meter man. The mailman is doing stuff. There's a meter maid. She is putting his ticket on this car. And we went, wow, the only person not dancing is like this cranky looking white lady. And all of a sudden she was just like, nope, I'm dancing too.
Boom.
And she kind of like.
This is the town that John Lithgow forgot to like make dancing illegal.
She's putting the ticket on the car, and then she like dances and like backflips away, and then we find out the car is on hydraulics, so it starts bouncing.
Starts bouncing up and down too. And so then, the car's getting in on it.
Even the car's in on the action.
Speed buggy.
And then there's old women who start dancing.
Yeah.
And one of them is not actually an old woman, at least.
So really?
I think she was dressed up as an old woman, but she was really getting into it too. But yeah,
what's going on with this neighborhood?
It's a huge, massive number. And as they come down the hill, they basically intercept another big group of people who are already coming the other direction.
I mean, this looks like the band members of Rusted Root. That's how many people are on that street. There's got to be at least, what, 50 people?
Oh, there's probably more than that.
There's probably more than that. Like,
especially when they all join up, there's probably more than that.
Yeah, that's how many people are in the band Rusted Root.
So
send me on my way.
Send me on my way. So they all start dancing. So they get up to this stage. You okay?
No, because I kept laughing at it, and you're like, you paused it, and you're like, why are you laughing so hard? Like, what did you see? I go, I didn't see anything. I'm going, is that what this movie is? Just dancing and dancing and dancing for like an hour?
Correct.
Because this is amazing.
Who do you break to? Who do you boogaloo? Anyway, they make it to the park. Like, the groups have intercepted, and I'm pretty sure they met up with a third crowd of people.
Right.
And they go to the park to this, like, little stage where there's like this Latina dancer who is like doing this weird like combination of salsa and break dancing
kind of
it's very interesting, but she seems to be pretty sweet on turbo. Like, she's looking at him directly and very making eye contact.
Turbo seems to be like, ooh,
yeah, he's
but
he's,
doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, he's stopped moving ahead with them. He's just standing there kind of smitten, and Ozone says, hey, we need to go. Forget her. She's a skeez. Like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Nice. Thanks, Ozone.
Thanks, Ozone.
You're a prince.
Cock block.
So, thanks, Shabadoo.
Shabadoo. Shabadoo-ba-doo-doo, where are you?
What?
Pocket and locking over here. This is crazy.
Harry Boogaloo Shrimp. But so they dance all the way to this community center.
Miracles. Miracles
Ozone
Rec Center.
Turbo helped build. It's called Miracles.
Miracles. This is the rec center that is important to this movie.
Yes. So the city, obviously they live in a more urban area, lower income area.
Sure. I mean,
and so they
also the area where everyone dances.
Yes. Right.
So,
and so they made this.
They might not have money, but they got moves.
Correct. And so they make Miracles. Miracles is a place like a rec center to teach kids trades or to like help them do different things, but basically to keep them out of trouble.
Now let me tell you, like, let me ask you a question. If someone is doing a dance routine and they have a whip in their hand, does that make it a miracle whip? I'm just asking. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. Do you think in the winter it's Miracle on Ice?
Stop.
Where do you think
Do you think if this rec center was on 34th Street, it would be Miracle on 34th? I was going to say,
where do you think that? Where do you think the rec center is?
Probably on 34th Street. Okay, keep going.
Where's Miracle on 34th Street? Anyway,
we got to do some banter. Half of this movie is dancing.
All right, so they get there, and Ozone and Turbo are like, "Hey, here's your guide.
Here's your guide, a mime.
He's going to show you around. A mime with a mushroom painted on his face.
God, a mushroom, like, yeah.
Like, right down the center of his
face. He's the whitest guy there, and yes. He's the mime.
And he's a mime.
And really, you don't need to, like, paint your face white. You're already white enough.
Yeah, right? So, yeah. And not even, like, it's not even, like, traditional white mime face. It's just a mushroom.
Kind of.
And so...
He's your guide to show you.
He's taking them around.
Look at the stage.
He takes
knock,
them to,
knock, knock.
Well, and literally, they go into a room that has an open door already with these kids performing on the stage. And he does this whole, like...
He mimes.
Yeah, he mimes, door. Like, pulling open this big, long, sliding, heavy sliding door.
We get it.
We can see them and hear them. Just get over it.
Get over it. We know your shtick.
So these kids are dancing on stage.
That mime is amazing.
You know, and they're like, oh, are these professionally trained dancers? No, these are people from the neighborhood who wanted to learn how to dance.
Yeah, from the flash hob is what I call it.
And so then we come across people boxing.
Yes.
They're teaching people to box and defend themselves.
At first, I didn't know it was called Miracles, and I was actually called, like, I was like, boxing and dancing. This is like a Stallone rec center. This is like perfect for him.
That is. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's boxing and dancing.
That's perfect.
I know.
So we meet Byron.
Yes.
Who's
kind of the head of the rec center.
Yeah, he runs the rec center, and he's kind of like this... Very, like, sage kind of wise.
He's kind of hippy-dippy a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. He just is, like...
He's there.
He's mellow.
Yeah.
But he likes to drop wisdom on them, but he's trying to teach these kids trade. And then eventually we come across most important part of it. The dancing classes where they learn to, like, pop and lock and just generally break dance. So
yeah,
we get a mini dance number at this point. He teaches somebody to do this. They do this move and he's like, oh no, tighten it up like this. And they both do the move. And then everybody just immediately falls apart into, like, break dancing.
Yeah. So then we got another dance routine.
Yeah. Little mini one though.
Yeah.
This
one only lasted 15 minutes as opposed to the 30-minute one. No, I'm just joking.
So, meanwhile, outside, a bunch of white men in suits get out of their expensive cars. And talk about how they're planning on tearing down the rec center to build a shopping mall.
Ooh.
And it's run by
Paradise.
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas.
Who is the...
The gentrification.
He's the developer guy.
Yeah.
So
we already know the plot.
Yeah.
We got to save the rec center.
Save the rec center.
And we got to... battle.
From the old fuddy-duddy white guys.
We probably have to raise money to do that, so...
So, in the meantime, while they're talking, then we have another dance, like, training montage where they have them learning to dance and pop and lock, and we're getting a lot more, like, very intricate on, like,
is this
finger movements.
I think Kelly's joining them.
Kelly did join
them.
Yeah. So Kelly's teaching with them at this point.
Yeah.
But then after we do that for a few minutes, we cut back to the old businessman. Trying to sweet talk the commissioner into tearing down the building, basically saying, "Hey, no, it's structurally unsound.
Right.
It's all this." Well, all this is happening because one of the guys, Randall, is like the city planner. He has been working with Mr. Douglas, and so he convinces the commissioner.
Damn you, Mr. Douglas!
Yeah, convinces the commissioner,
Kurt,
that this is structurally unsound,
right.
Even though it may not be.
Mm-hmm.
They go to this club.
Yes. And there's this, like, two women that are singing.
Yes.
And I call them the Pointless Sisters.
I kept trying to guess what it would be.
Instead of the Pointer Sisters, Pointless. Because this scene was kind of pointless.
Yeah.
It really was. It only established, like, a little bit.
I called them, called the one gal Patty LaMelt. or Salty and Pepper.
Salty and Pepper, yeah.
But
so would you call her Donna Winter instead of Donna Summer?
Winter, yeah.
Anyway, they're at this club.
Diana Floss.
I think we meet someone at the club, don't we?
Yeah. So we go to the club.
There's a lot of this, like,
and it's pretty crowded at this point. So we go to the club. They're getting ready to dance or do whatever. And about that time, we see these other guys all wearing the same outfits.
Oh.
With headbands.
Yes.
That are walking up. And it turns out it is their rival dance crew.
Yes.
Gang.
The Electros?
No.
Is that what they're called?
It's the Electro. I thought it was like the Electroshocks, but that's the not it.
I thought they called the Electros. Anyway, they're in
Electro Rockers.
Red leopard print headbands. Is their attire.
Yep.
Which go very well on the streets.
Yes. Well, it was a time. They all wear, like, Ozone wears a lot of, like, one big giant feather earring kind of thing. Or, like,
That earring drove me nuts through the whole film. I just want to rip that thing off.
And did you see, the little claw or tooth necklace or whatever he's got?
It didn't matter. I wanted to tear all of that. Like, stop wearing that. It's getting you could probably dance so much better. It is weighing you down. That thing probably weighs about, 80 pounds? You could do a lot more popping and locking to get rid of that thing.
It is very true.
Just saying.
So, now, Byron, and Byron, again, I didn't mention it before, is played by Harry Caesar.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
He receives a letter.
That's my favorite salad, Harry Caesar salad.
It's when they drop it on the floor and just scoop it back onto the plate.
That's exactly what they do. That is a Harry Caesar salad. God. Okay, keep going. I think this movie made us insane.
I think it's accurate. So Byron receives the letter saying he needs $200,000 to renovate Miracles.
I think Byron says that's a lot of nickels and dimes.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, it says it like that because there's no quarters anywhere.
You know.
Sacagawea coins.
Two twos and a sack. So the commissioner, basically they go to see the commissioner to talk to her about this, to be like, what the heck is going on? Like, we can't get that money together.
Right.
And she says, well, you know, the commissioner or the city planner says that it's, you know, not in a great, in great shape. So you need to get that money to try to get all the repairs in order.
We've seen this plot before.
Yes.
People need to save the restaurant from closing,
right?
But they can't, and the Max might shut down. But AC Slater comes out and saves the day, even though he's bad at public speaking because they don't want him to join KKCY Bayside. Oh wait, sorry.
You all right there?
Yeah, I had what we call a Saved by the Bell flashback. Sorry about that.
Saved by the Bell's palsy.
Paul.
It's where you constantly...
Saving the Bell, Mark Palsley Gosler. Okay, keep going.
Saved by the Bell. It's where you always are stuck with that, like, shitty grin on your face.
Go ahead, keep going. So $200,000 to save the rec center.
$200,000 to save the rec center.
So there's like a montage of
the commissioner says you have 30 days.
Okay,
we gave you a grace period of 30 days.
Yeah, great, thanks.
So they go... You know what? We can raise it. So the first thing they're doing, car washes.
Right.
I don't know if you saw it on the sign. It said $3.
Right. That's what I'm going to say. So there was like this montage. It says car wash, $3. And then it says portrait, $5. So I actually say car wash, $3. Portrait, $5. Balloon animals from his scary mime, priceless.
Yeah.
Because there's like a balloon animal guy. I think it's the same mime.
It's the
guy.
Mime.
Yes, it's scary.
Yeah, I don't get what his like his tactic is there.
But he
like,
wasn't taking any
people
money
are
from
paying anyone. For anything.
No, yeah.
But at the end of the day, they made $7,000.
Yeah, so yeah, they're getting there.
So Turbo suggests, what if we have a street festival or some sort of a performance to raise money?
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll raise tons of money.
Yeah, so they're all on board with that.
Yeah, all 500 people that showed up at that dance at the beginning.
I know. So at a douchey white bread lunch meeting that Kelly's having.
Right, just out of the blue.
Just, yeah. You know what? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, Turbo and Ozone, you're like, yeah, they're part of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
They're whatever. And then we constantly go back to Kelly, who she'll be there part of the neighborhood 1 minute, and then the next minute, she'll be back in fancy dress
clothes.
We
have to throw in the other thorn in the side that Kelly might be offered a job in Paris, but she has to audition.
Kelly's agent tells her
Stanley.
They want her for a show in Paris. She's got to audition for it. And, you know, and of course she's talking about that she's been helping with the center and getting that up and going. And he basically tells her that's great and all, but don't let these other people get in the way of your career.
Right.
You don't want to miss these opportunities.
No.
So she goes. She goes to the rec center where they're doing some work, and when she shows up and Ozone looks happy to see her, there's this woman, Rhonda, who immediately drops the board she's working on with Ozone and walks away.
Come on, help me, Rhonda. I'm moving this board.
So Kelly starts working with Ozone and then says, hey, you know, I got offered this job, you know, this audition, so I might be going to Paris. So then Ozone gets pissed, because he obviously likes Kelly.
Right.
So he gets pissed and is irritated with her. Now, while they're kind of talking, a spray can flies in through the window and just shatters a bunch of glass.
They call it like an electro rock or something?
Electro rocker.
Yeah. No, they look like a spray can.
Well, no, because he goes electro rockers, because that's who the rival gang is.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He was just blaming it on them without even seeing them.
Oh, I thought he called it an electro rock. And
no.
I'm like, no.
It's a rock plugged
into
a wall.
I don't think
that
rec center is really helping you very much if you're calling that a rock. That looks like a spray can.
Yeah. Ozone's crew, basically the Miracle Dancers, are like, you know what? Here, let's go find whoever this is. So they chase down this electro rocker and come around the corner down this alley to where, or like under this bridge to where there's a bunch of electro rockers, and they are like on this
in a broken car.
I mean, yeah, you know, like it was like a busted up car, like it's missing wheels and like glass.
I don't know how you got there then.
It's just it was probably left there abandoned.
Okay.
It's supposed to look like urban blight.
Oh, okay, sure.
So they start having a dance off.
Right. Now this is a dance off like I've never seen before.
Yeah, it comes off the rails a little bit.
Let's just say this makes like the Sharks and Jets look like patty cake, Jeremy, from West Side Story.
Yeah.
When you're a jet, you're a jet. Like that's what it kind of reminded me of. Boom, because they're like trying to punch each other. But it's more like a dance move, so, ooh, I'm moving out of your way, but, ooh, I'm dancing around you.
Makes the Sharks and Jets look like tuna and biplanes?
Sure.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Usually my jokes bomb. At least
well,
one of them.
See, at least you admit it.
And so they have,
like
nunchucks?
Well, okay, hold on. So they're having this regular pop and lockathon until Strobe.
Was that his name, Strobe?
Strobe.
Never even got his name. Never even cared to get
his name. They said it, especially later, they said it. But I had to look it up because this guy's name, he's actually played by Steve Sugarfoot Notario.
Oh.
I'm guessing in real life, Sugarfoot.
I had a Notario growing up.
The Sugarfoot and Shabadoo were probably friends in real life. Probably with Boogaloo Shrimp. Kelly,
God, all
the
these
white
names.
Girl.
All these names. Jesus.
So they're just like dancing and throwing these like dance punches.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden Strobe is like, ah, and it's like nunchucks flipping around. And so I was like, we both went
like nunchucks. It looked like,
well, they were
how,
like
so how were, candles are like sometimes together on the wick.
Yeah.
They kind of look like that.
Well, okay, so they were like nunchucks, but they were probably, I don't know, they looked like they were those pool noodles.
Oh, they look like the safest nunchucks in the yeah. world.
Well, I guarantee you they made them instead of buying legit hurt you kind of nunchucks.
Yeah.
I doubt Golden Globe has sprung for or the insurance that went
You
with
figured
it.
After all that they would spend money on that.
Right. So he busts out nunchucks, and we both went, whoa, what the hell? Because it's so weird.
Oh, it was weird. It was out of nowhere.
It escalated like that. But then Ozone grabs a trash can lid.
Like kind of three of them do. Pull up a trash can lid.
And it's like it's painted like Captain America's
shield. Like Captain America's shield.
Conveniently. Yeah, right. And so he's holding it like a shield. So then all of the Electro Rockers have nunchucks. And all of the Miracle Dancers have shields. But here's the fun part. Nobody hits fucking anybody.
Nope.
Nobody touches anybody.
Nope.
They all just, like, do these, like, dance moves, like, where they're kind of... I think at one point, the guys with the shields...
Infinity.
Set them down.
Wars.
And the guys with the nunchucks just, like... dance over the shields.
Yeah.
Don't understand.
I didn't understand.
It's just they're dancing around like crazy. And of course, the only two people who look like they might actually hurt each other
are the two girls.
Are the two women. Because they're doing that like thing where they like shake their fists really fast in front of themselves. And it looks like if one of them wasn't paying attention, she might actually punch the other girl a little bit.
Yeah.
But they just kept doing that move. While the other people were, like, doing, like, dance karate
moves. It was terrible.
So bizarre. So Strobe and Ozone finally go on to, like, a one-for-one match. And they must have won because the Electro Rockers dance back to their car and, like, drive away.
They must.
Hooray?
I don't know who won.
I don't know.
All I know is we did from watching that glorious dance moves. We are the winners.
So, now back at the rec center, Mr. Douglas, who is played by, again, Peter McLean.
Boo!
Boo, Mr. Douglas. So he's surveying the property, or having it surveyed already, because he's ready to tear it down.
Yeah.
And build his shopping mall.
Banana Republic.
Yeah. So this kid comes up and is asking him questions. He thinks it's a camera,
uh-huh.
And so he wants to get his picture taken. And he's just, like, talking. It's little kid stuff. And even this guy doing this survey is not, like, bad to him. He's just like, come on, kid, get out of here. It's Mr. Douglas who walks up and shoves the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, really?
Whoa, Douglas.
The kid runs inside and gets Byron and everybody else to come talk to him, talk to Mr. Douglas. And then he says, you don't have any power. They're like, well, we're going to stop this. And he goes, you don't have any power to do anything. You're street people.
Street people.
And like, you know, of course, Ozone acts like he's going to, you know, take his head off, but everybody holds him back.
But everyone knows from that lovely fight dance he can't even hurt a fly.
Yeah. He'll accidentally punch him and go, but he didn't, like, do this, like, faint move. And, but Byron says, you know what? You don't really understand what kind of power we've actually got. And then Douglas tells them, you know what? This is just your time. And you can waste it however you want.
And boy, do they ever.
Yes, they do.
They waste it dancing the day away.
So, Ozone and Turbo are planning new dance moves for their festival when Rhonda shows up. And so Rhonda, I don't know if she's from the first movie or what, but Rhonda is Ozone's crazy ex-girlfriend. That's why the
It's a lot more nuanced than that, Jeremy.
She's a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Stop saying that.
She's so broken inside. So, she's pissed that Ozone is interested in this girl. Like, they aren't together, but she's pissed that he's interested in Kelly. And then she demands that he stays away from her. Stay away.
She's not the best actress.
No.
Stay away from that girl.
Yeah, just like that.
She punches it like that.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Very bad. So after all that pleasantness, Turbo goes, because I think Rhonda tells Turbo to get out so she can talk to Ozone alone. So Turbo, with his free time, makes his way to go see the Latina girl dance again.
Right.
So she dances this salsa with her crew. And then she says something to Turbo in Spanish, which some rando in the crowd translates as that she thinks he's sexy and wants to dance with him. I don't know if that's what they really were saying.
Oh, I don't think so.
They translate something later, and I went, no, that's not what she said, because I heard the word shit, and I heard something else where I was like, no, that's not what she said.
Okay, yeah.
So I think they're just playing on the fact that most people aren't going to know.
Mm-hmm.
But so back at the clubhouse, because I don't know what else to call it exactly.
Where they live.
The tree fort they live
in. The tree, yeah. God, it's like a fort or
so
I don't know what it is.
So
a shack?
Yes. So Turbo asks Ozone about girls. And like he's like, what do you do exactly? Because Turbo obviously is, you know, not very experienced.
Yeah.
So like, what do? Like, how do you start this? And Ozone says, oh, you want to know how to get it on with a girl? And like leaps up out of his bed. And Turbo goes, well, not exactly. Like, I think he's like, whoa, I just need to, what do you do here? And so Ozone leaps up and he puts his Murphy bed away. But this is where he starts screwing around with his pants.
I don't understand that part, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened. So he's screwing around with his pants, right? Like I don't know if he's like pulling them back up. He's doing whatever, so he's screwing around with them. Then you hear the zipper zip.
I don't know.
And he's messing around with something in his crotchal region off screen. So I don't know if he's putting on or taking off. I don't know if he's
tucking
away or whipping out. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know. But did you forget to say that Turbo had this doll that he made? Because isn't there like that doll that he was talking to?
Well, right.
Yeah.
So, but that's coming up here too. Okay. So they're, I'm not sure what he's teaching Turbo. So they're trying to teach him what to say. So Ozone busts this doll out. They have this doll who's been sitting by this mirror the whole time. And we're talking like a full-size human size doll.
Yeah.
And so Ozone's like, you know, talk to it. Compliment it. And, of course, Turbo's like, you have the brownest eyes. Or you have the most beautiful brown eyes. Or, like, weird things he's saying to it. And he's like, no. Sweet talk it like this. And so he's trying to, like, he's trying to be, like, suave to this doll.
And then there comes a dance number.
Yeah. And he tells him, like, make sure you strut. Don't kiss the women. Just compliment them first. Then you can do whatever.
And then there comes a dance number.
Yes. And Ozone says he'll show him. So he starts dancing.
Right.
And then he, like, grabs the doll's ass.
Like, yes.
Hard grabs the doll's ass.
Yes.
Which is not a good sign of things to go.
Right.
So now it's weird. Now they're dancing. and the doll keeps changing.
You're coming to life?
Yeah, it keeps changing to either Kelly.
Kelly?
Or the Latino girl.
Latino girl or Kim Cattrall? Oh, that's Mannequin. That's Mannequin.
Yeah. So, but it turns into one of their love interests. And they're dancing and it keeps switching back. And so the other one keeps getting jealous. And pretty soon they start fighting.
Over this doll.
Over this doll. And then they rip it apart. Like the arms.
And then they laugh.
And they laugh. Well, when they did that, all I could think was, oh my God, if they're seeing Kelly and this other girl, does that mean in their vision they just saw themselves like rip them apart?
I don't know. But then they start dancing with each other.
Yeah, then they start dancing together.
This and let scene me tell you, did not need to be
Ozone. Ozone was the one doing the lead the whole time. He was terrible leading scene. That dance. Yeah.
Terrible scene.
Yeah. Bizarre.
Hated it.
Bizarre. Yeah. So in the meantime, Kelly auditions, and her agent tells her she needs to focus on her career and stop talking about Ozone. And the ozone
right.
layer.
Right. And the ozone layer. Stop using your hairspray.
And so, now back
do you think
to the
that's why her hair is short? Because she didn't want to use hairspray?
I think so.
To kill ozone.
Because she was afraid. She's afraid she'd hurt the ozone.
That's what they, oh no, I don't want to hurt the ozone. I love him too much.
So back at the mansion now, we go back to Kelly's family's mansion. And Mr. Bennett, her dad, I think it's his name, Bennett, is pissed that he's heard she's auditioned for the show where that'll take her to France, and that she's hanging out with those street people again.
Street people.
So the mother says, well, hey, look, it's for a good cause. You know, she's helping the community.
Street people.
Which is different from the first scene. That's why I was kind of like, did mom change her personality?
You know, this movie's kind of weird because then she kind of changes it back away. And
a
then,
little bit, and it keeps going back.
I don't know.
And
these parents are bipolar.
So her dad demands that Kelly come over for dinner. Get her over here for dinner. So Kelly invites Turbo and Ozone to go with her.
Seems like the greatest thing.
Yeah,
you
seems
do.
Like a good plan.
Yeah, bring Laverne and Shirley with you.
You
this
know,
will go over
I think
well.
She's trying to piss off her dad.
Okay.
So Ozone said he didn't want to go because he's afraid that, like, I don't want this to seem like I'm trying to grub for money. I don't want to use you, and I don't even want it to appear like I'm using you. Like he's and he says, I want to work for this. I want to work for what
and
I get.
And she said, I want to sleep with common people.
She did.
I want to do whatever common people do.
I want to live like common people.
I want to live like common people like you.
I'll see what I can do. Anyway.
And so they dance. So and they dance. And they dance. And drink and screw.
Yes. So they, at this point, she'd invited them over. They go to dinner, and they're surprised by how rich she is. Like, they knew she had money.
Yeah, they didn't
but
know.
But not, like,
wow,
mansion money. Yeah.
Can I tell you? Well, I'm a little impressed, too.
Yeah.
Kelly.
There you go. So Kelly's mom is trying to kind of be nice to Ozone and Turbo. Like, she's being very nice to them.
Yeah.
And, like, she's saying things that are... At first, I kind of read it as being backhanded, but then, like...
they're a little passive-aggressive, but not
right,
terrible.
Right, I almost think it was more of, like...
She's
like
trying.
That, like, culturally ignorant kind of thing. Like, I don't think she meant anything maliciously.
Now, the father, on the other hand...
Yeah, the dad's... Well, so... when
they're
the there,
dad invites...
There's a knock on the door.
Derek.
Or the doorbell. Yeah, there's a knock on the door. And
yeah, Derek.
They go,
there.
Oh, that must be dad. Which I keep thinking,
why is
why
dad knocking
dad
on the door?
Does he have to knock to get in? But they open the door and it's Derek.
Yeah.
So Derek the nerd is there.
Who looks nothing like a nerd.
Well, not like
today. Like a bow tie, but whatever.
He's just a dickbag.
Yeah.
And so Derek shows up and he's rude. The dad comes down the stairs. And Kelly introduces him to Turbo and Ozone, and they put out their hands for a handshake. and he just walks right past them.
White privilege. Yes.
And so he's talking to Derek and just, you know, white guy jokes about, like, well, you should sue them game? Anyway. Like, Siri, he's talking about mayonnaise. He's making jokes about suing people. So.
Ooh, suing people. Mayonnaise.
So, and of course, mom is apologizing. I didn't know your father was going to do this. I'm so sorry. And then, like, he starts introducing Derek as her fiancé.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too.
I was like, wait, now he's your fiancé all of a sudden?
Skipping that. You really want this, don't you?
So, at dinner, there's this little comedy by Turbo about, like, how bad the food is. The mother cooked it and whatever, so he's trying to be polite.
I thought they were kind of fun during this scene.
I didn't say it was bad.
Yeah.
But
was it good?
No. But, like, he puts some, he eats some of it, and they go, well, how is it? And he goes, and his, like, mouth is puffed up because he's got all the food in it. I think, like, he's feeding stuff to the cat they have, too. So the dad starts talking about the rec center and asks how it's going. Well, Kelly says, well, you know, we've gotten into some trouble. When Derek blurts out, oh, these people always get into trouble.
Whoa, Derek. Whoa.
I put Derek equals Richard Spencer of Rodeo Drive.
Who's Richard Spencer?
Is that Richard Spencer?
What are we talking about?
The Nazi guy?
I don't know. I don't know Nazis. Yeah. I try not to give them any credit.
He's the one who gets punched all the time. On.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him, too.
Yeah, right? That's why I was like, huh.
I can know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So, now, the dad then, of course, Ozone gets pissed. He's like, hey, I'm one of those people. So the dad asks, well, what kind of trouble are you in? And they're like, we are not in trouble. The rec center's in trouble. Basically trying to explain it. But the dad interrupts and says, oh, I see. You're here for money. And just immediately goes to Ozone's worst fear. He goes right for it.
Why should I give you money? Though you people only use it for drugs.
He said, you people mismanage it.
Yeah.
You buy drugs and cars.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, Turbo and Ozone were like, hey, we don't need your money. Like, right. We were planning on taking care of this ourselves.
We do not buy cars with it.
Yeah, right? And he said,
No, he doesn't say that.
We can take care of our own. And of course, they're very polite. They thank Kelly's mom for the food.
They ask, can we take the rolls with us?
Yeah. Can we take some rolls? And she goes, yeah, of course.
They do this.
They do this kind of like, they pick it up and do this like little move with it. And as they're walking away, then Derek says, arrogant riffraff. And then they do this kind of like mugging pose back.
They look like the Wayans brothers when they do this.
Yes, they do. So now Turbo asks Kelly about the girl. Yeah, so Turbo later, he's talking with Kelly in the park.
Uh-huh.
And says, well, hey, look, I have this girl. I'm interested in her. Here's what's going on. Like, how do I start this? I tried talking to Ozone about it. But then he made me have sex with a doll while he was doing something below screen.
He did not say that.
No, he didn't. But he was like, I need to know what to do. And she's like, does she like you? And yeah, you know, she wants to go dancing, and I just don't know what to say. And she goes, well, say yes. So he goes, all right, say yes. And so now he's back in this clubhouse magically. And he's dancing. He's break dancing.
Yeah.
Popping and locking around the room. And we start getting a dancing on the ceiling thing going on.
Yeah, he starts Lionel Richieing it.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't know what was going on because I was like, how did he just climb up that wall?
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's very strong.
Well, he's very strong.
And then he was spinning on the ceiling, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Who's it that did that? Fred Astaire?
Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Oh, Fred Astaire. Oh, Inception kind of thing. Or, right. You know, like I kept thinking of that. Jamiroquai.
Yes, Virtual Insanity.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. So he does this whole routine where he's going around the room.
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
I thought it was cool.
Now, I will say, like, there was one little part where I could see. At first, I was like, how the shit did they do that?
Yeah.
Because, like, the one of the things that they do in these other productions of this is you don't really see out the window so much. And in this, you can see the trees and the light outside the window. So I was confused what was going on because it looks like I'm seeing outside. Right side up.
Yeah.
But you can see there was one little part where...
whatever.
My eye just happened to catch it. You can see the shadow where, like, something was moving in the background. But it was barely noticeable. It was only by a chance I saw it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then, like, eventually the girl shows up and kind of, like, dances with him. But, yeah, I mean, he does all sorts of cool stuff. Now, they go back to the club. Turbo is dancing with the girl that he, you know, was fawning over. And there's this rapper who's there performing with his group.
I've never seen this rapper before.
Yes. And I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this guy's name right.
Yes. Could you? Like, who plays him?
Ice-T?
Yes, it was Ice-T.
Yes. But he was so young and innocent. We call him Sweet Tea. Ice-T, or would he have been Green Tea if he was brand new? No?
Go ahead.
So Ice-T was, like, rapping. And, man, he was crazy, too. He's, like, breaking records and, like, smashing equipment. Like, he was going nuts. But he's performing. Ozone shows up and tries to talk to Strobe and says, like, hey, let's have a truce and then we can save Miracles in the neighborhood together. But of course, Strobe refuses, and then Ozone turns around to see some little guy, like, in a, I don't know what the hell mask that was supposed to be.
Oh, I think it was God, what was his name? Who did I say? The Peter Boyle? Was it a Peter Boyle mask?
Been Peter Boyle.
I'm going to tell you, that rap was actually decent that Ice-T was doing. They did look like they were dressed like a Mad Max film.
Mm-hmm.
That mask did look like Peter Boyle.
It did.
Raymond! Do your Peter Boyle.
Holy crap!
That's perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
will you do the rest of the podcast as Peter Boyle?
No, thing? I will not.
Damn it.
So the guy dances around. Kelly comes in now and says to Ozone that she got offered the part from her, like, after her audition. And he's already upset and worried.
Well, he's upset because of that whole experience of the dinner.
Yeah. And Strobe has said no, and he's worrying about the rec center.
Right.
And now she's like, hey,
and we've only
raised
$7,000 in 20 days, and you only have 10 days left.
And we've already spent that on, like,
there's no other time that they do more fundraising scenes in this movie until the end.
No, not at all.
Ugh.
So at this point, Ozone says, you know what? Do whatever you want to do.
Do it. Just
like,
do it.
I don't care. Just. If you want to go to Paris, go to Paris. Just knock it off. And so he says, you know what? Maybe you should go back to your fiance.
Ooh.
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 So as she leaves,
and
a
Derek
bunch
said,
of women.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of women led by Rhonda threatens Kelly, saying, you don't belong in this neighborhood. And, you know, if you show your face here again, we might have to make it look a little less pretty.
Come on, Rhonda. Help me out.
Get her out of my heart. So she immediately is like, you know what? Screw this. So Kelly goes over, calls her agent, says, yeah, I'll take the job. So now we get this scene where Ozone is nailing a banner to the top of the top of Miracles.
Yes.
There's this like dome on the top of Miracles. So he's nailing it up there, and it says, "Save our streets." And immediately he starts like break dancing on top of this
on
building.
On top of the building. Now, keep in mind, the city just said your building is condemned.
Yeah.
And yet you're still dancing on it, and you said it's not structurally sound.
I don't think it's not structurally sound.
I think
sound.
It is.
I think
they
it's
just
fine.
Want to build this.
Well, that's. I think
center.
That was the whole thing. The city planner lied
right.
about it.
Yeah.
So but he's dancing on this, and of course, you know, he's up there. He
starts like flicking his fingers down, and then all of a sudden, when he does,
yeah.
Two more dancers show up.
Well, the first one, the first one down there is the mime.
Yeah.
And then he...
Freaky mime.
He does this thing where he, like, kind of flails his hands, like jazz hands at them. And when he does, more people pop out behind a couple trees. And he does it again, and more people pop out. And pretty soon he has a small crowd going.
He's got an army.
But he's, like, slowly scaling the side of this
building. SOS, save our streets.
Save the clock tower. So he is slowly, like, kind of scaling down the side of this building.
Yeah.
He jumps off one part. Then
jumps
he,
off the
he grabs a rope
thing.
And goes down yeah. the rest. And basically he's making his way down.
Didn't I say, look, Mario just jumped on the flagpole.
So when he gets down there, too, even more people come out of Miracles with all these signs.
Yeah.
So they go down to the courthouse and protest.
Yeah, they think they're going to have a Newsies moment. They're going to seize the day.
So they're having these proceedings, right?
Yeah.
And they go in there, and Ozone accuses the city councilor of trying to push them off their streets. You know, Byron says this will keep kids off of drugs and teach them to work hard. And Randall's trying to the city planner's trying to shut them down. And they're saying, you know, no, we're going to be heard.
I need that Banana Republic. We need that Banana Republic.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing I'm confused about. Obviously, there is this hearing about whether, like, this must be at the end of their 30 days.
It has to be, like, day 30.
29
and a half.
You're planning this festival. You know when the thing is going to happen. But for whatever reason, you're like, oh, shit, we didn't actually do that.
You know what? The rec center never got a calendar. So, man, we lost count of days.
I thought there was only 28 this month.
But, they said 31 days, right? No, 30? Oh, man, this month has 31 days.
So, yeah, it was like,
it was
why
really weird.
Why were you not there before
why,
this was
why
happening?
Did you not have your yeah. festival like before?
Yeah.
Like on day 20.
Right. So anyway, the council actually sides with Douglas. Mr.
Well, yeah.
Douglas.
I side with Douglas. You guys are kind of idiots.
So now there's this weird bit where this kid goes, man, this is whack.
Yeah.
And Randall. Who was like this balding guy.
Who doesn't get offended by anything.
These round glasses and like a bow tie. Yeah. He spins around and goes, he's like, whack. What do you mean whack? What do you mean? Like, he's, like, very almost, like, irrationally offended by that. And so they're like, okay, calm down.
Rightfully so, Randall. Rightfully so.
So
that's the one thing you should be offended by.
So Ozone now says, you know what? We are going to stop you somehow. Like, no matter what, we're going to stop you.
Yeah.
Which you could have by holding a festival somewhere in that 30-day period.
Day 20.
Anyway, yeah. So back at Miracles, the kids are on the stairs making things difficult for people trying to, like, do their job. So they're kind of like, somebody's trying to measure it, and they're, like, yanking the tape out of their hands or, like, getting in the way of the survey equipment.
Yeah, the surveying equipment. Turbo grabs one of the...
Yeah, Turbo grabs one of their, I think, their lunches or some of their
no,
equipment.
No, it's a device that helps with the survey
okay.
equipment. But those things are heavy. I've carried... We have them at work.
Yeah.
Because we sell surveying equipment, too. And those things are heavy, so I don't know how I grabbed it and started running with it.
Well, he and the other person, first off, they were slapping the guy in the helmet. Unless there was nothing in it, and
that's where they put the survey equipment.
Oh, probably. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
So he and this other person are, like, slapping the hard hat of the guy who had the equipment.
Right.
And Turbo eventually gets it and just kind of runs around. And it's like that he's just kind of, you know, playfully running away from them.
Yeah.
And they're chasing after him. But then he just starts running with it. Now we cut to him in, like, this full dead sprint.
Yeah.
Like, he's sprinting. He's running. And somewhere along that line, I think he was like, oh, no, they're really coming after me. And started just, like, running like hell. Because he's bolting. And then
he's waiting
fact,
for the director to say cut. And the director didn't say cut.
Matter of fact, one of the guys behind him was running so fast that apparently his shirt just, like, ripped open. Like, he was running around with his shirt wide open
at
that point.
Okay, sure, whatever, we're fine.
You okay? So he's running, and the guy's chasing him. Eventually, he starts crawling through this, like, little fencing area trying to get away.
Yeah, going down these steps.
And he falls down the stairs.
Yeah.
And not just falls straight down the stairs. Then he, like, hits the corner with a bunch of trash cans that are sitting there.
Yeah.
And he and the trash cans then roll down the next level. And when he gets to the bottom, he goes, like, makes this weird whimper sound.
So we assume that you broke something?
Yeah. It made us laugh.
Yeah.
Sure. I think we have to do it again. So now Ozone goes and gets Kelly, who is, like, getting ready to leave for Paris, and who her agent is there too.
Stanley.
Yeah, Stanley. And so he says, hey, look, Turbo got hurt. You know, he's in the hospital. And the agent says, you know, if you don't make it to Paris, they're just going to hire somebody else. And she's like, well, find me another ticket to get there then. Like, I have to go take care of my friend.
Yeah, right.
And so she leaves with Ozone then. Now, at the hospital, Turbo is apparently in a coma of some kind.
Evidently. Like, he's passed out.
Yeah.
They walk into the room that he's in.
Yeah.
The Latino girl walks out of, like, a medicine closet or something.
It's like a supply cabinet.
What are you doing in there?
She just, like, appears from the supply cabinet.
Why were you in there?
And somebody even goes, why was she in there? Like,
how long,
like,
were you in there?
Yeah. I couldn't figure it out. We were like, that's very weird. But she comes in and gives him a kiss, which causes him to wake up. And how do you celebrate?
This is where things get really fucked up in this movie.
Yeah, how do you celebrate him getting out of a coma? With a dance number.
With a dance number.
So now they start doing this weird... So first off, I want to focus on the main three. So they're doing these moves, right? Like, somewhere, Ozone has gotten his hands on a stethoscope, and he's like...
I don't know how they did.
He's
really
like
quick.
Listening to his foot and doing something.
He's alive. Then, oh, stethoscope.
And
ooh,
then
boom.
Kelly starts like, they start doing these moves where it looks like they're doing like the defibrillators.
Yeah.
And to me, it looks like, to me, it looks like.
Go ahead.
He's having some sort of seizure.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, everybody's dancing.
Yes.
And Turbo's actually dying on the table, but they're
they
like,
know.
They're dancing because they think that's, you
but
know.
But keep going about this. So everyone in the hospital starts
right
dancing.
So they start dancing.
Everyone.
Yeah, so they're dancing. They start off in the room where Turbo is. Looks like he's having seizures. They eventually pull the bed out into the hall. Because, of course, it's on wheels. So they pull it out into the hall, and everybody's dancing. And eventually they point to, like, these doors.
And they open,
like,
up.
They open up, and there's, like,
by four, themselves.
There's, like, four sexy nurses.
Sexy nurses. Four of them.
Yeah. And so they're dancing. They start dancing
and
with
they're
other
like, boom,
patients.
Boom, boom, yeah.
They start dancing with these other patients, and when they do
sexy
that...
Sexy nurses, we need you on floor five for a dance routine.
Paging sexy nurses.
Paging sexy nurses.
So, but
I'm there, like, come flow. Here we go.
There's like people in wheelchairs and people with walkers. Yes. And once they touch them, they're all like, oh, hey, whatever. Oh, I'm cured. Need this. Yeah. And so they get rid of that. Then.
I'm cured and I'm popping and locking.
So they're still doing. I mean, it's pretty standard dance for a little bit. And then we see people in surgery.
Yes. These doctors are in surgery.
These doctors are in surgery. They're operating on somebody.
The guy starts flatlining.
And it flatlines. And they're like, oh, no, he's dead, blah, blah, blah. And so they're talking about
it. Oh, well.
And then, like, I was like, where is this going? Because they obviously are taking care of whatever. But then all of a sudden, those same, some sort of, like, ghoul nurses, like, it's the ones who possess them or something. They show up at the window. And the doctor is like, and does like this weird pop and lock.
Yeah.
Which makes the other doctor do it too. And oh. Pretty soon, all the doctors leave while the client, while the patient is still flatlining.
Yes. Well, the patient died. Let's start dancing.
Right. But then, don't worry, because the patient then comes back to life.
What the fuck is going beeping. On?
He comes back to life and he sits up. I don't know if you noticed this. He had no kind of marking on him at all. Like, it was a whole gown. It was, obviously, the surgery wasn't that good.
Worst episode of General Hospital I've ever seen.
And so then he starts kind of just shimmying in his, like, sitting on his bed. And, like, there's the grumpy Nurse Ratchet kind of nurse. She eventually is dancing with them. I mean, yeah. It's just, like, everybody is dancing. So.
Well, everyone is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the rec center.
Yeah, they all showed up.
All 700 people.
That was the second thing. He woke up, and one of them went, hey, guys, he's awake. And everybody piled in.
Yeah.
So back at Kelly's, she and Ozone are enjoying a pizza.
Yes. Half naked. And I don't mean the pizza's naked.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
He's got no shirt on. She's, you know, wearing her normal, like, dancer.
Yeah, whatever.
Is it a undergarment or is it not kind of clothing?
Or is it lingerie? What the hell is it? I think it's the same outfit she auditioned to go to Paris in.
I think so. So her dad shows up. And, of course, he's like, you know, something about those street people.
Those street people again.
Well, he's right inside. Like, obviously he hears. So she brings him in. And, of course, Ozone stands up and zips his pants up. He goes,
his signature move.
Yeah.
Whenever Ozone stands up, because you notice he's standing, for the most part of the movie, he's vertical because he's dancing a lot.
That's true.
So every time that he's sitting down and stands up, he zips his pants.
Makes sense.
Think about it.
It makes sense.
This is only two times he does that.
Yeah.
Except, like, the dinner scene. I think he probably did that, too. But he's like, whoop. I think he's like, well, this has happened before where, you know, my member just flops out by itself. I got to zip up or I got to pretend like I'm zipping up.
Well, I love I love the reaction where the dad goes, oh, my.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, obviously knows what's going on. But he offers her. He said he was thinking about it. He will pay the whole price of miracles.
Yeah.
If she never goes back to that neighborhood. And instead goes to Princeton for the 4 years. Yeah.
And I say, take the deal.
Yeah, and she thinks
she says to the banker, deal or no deal?
So.
And I say deal.
Go deal?
Do it.
I'm sorry, you got 10 cents.
Damn it.
So the Ozone says, hey, look, I cannot let you do this for the rec center. We'll figure out another way. In the meantime. Turbo, so this is odd, too. His, like, Latina girlfriend, obviously you couldn't hear her or something, so they overdubbed her voice.
They overdubbed her.
But I guarantee you that is Turbo.
I don't know who it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Turbo. Going, okay. Like, doing these high-pitched voice things. It was terrible.
Shrimp Boy, is that his name? If you are listening to our podcast, Boogaloo Shrimp, whatever you are. Please let us know if you are doing that. Because if you are, kudos.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Or Shabadoo.
Or Shabadoo.
Yeah. If one of
Shabadoo,
you
if you are listening, if you are still alive, if you're listening, please, I want to hear from
please
you.
Please do.
Shabadoo, Shabadoo.
Yes.
Shabba dooba doo, exchanging glances. Shabba dabba doo.
Now, Kelly, at this point, goes to help with the festival.
Exchanging glances.
Kelly goes to help with the festival.
Shabba dabba doo.
Rhonda tries to fight her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Rhonda's like, I told you she not to come
like
around here.
She has 700 pizzas in her hand, too.
Does she?
Yeah.
Pizzas?
Yeah, pizzas.
I don't think I paid attention.
I saw the pizzas, but keep going.
So, Rhonda's pissed. She says, I told you not to come back here. And Kelly's like, what up? What of it, bitch? She's like, I'm here to help.
What's up, benches?
She's like, I'm here to help. So, I made the choice to come back, deal with it. And they start fighting a little bit. But right then, the bulldozers show up.
Yeah.
So, of course, the kids all kind of get in front of it, and they start dancing. And eventually they start dancing on the bulldozers, and so they stop. Mr. Douglas shows up and goes, no, 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 I pay you to, you know, do this, so keep going. So they keep driving forward, and everybody else gets out of the way. Actually, also, while they're driving, the electro rockers...
Yeah.
Are like motioning for them, yeah, go ahead and destroy it, kind of a thing. And I'm like, you guys are dicks.
Kind of.
So Turbo, which I neglected to mention, I'm sorry, because he escapes with his girl.
Right, it's fine.
Yeah, so he escapes with her in the dumbest escape scene ever. It's just them, like,
yeah,
being weird, and then he does like a whole thing, like when,
yeah,
he leaves. So, so, Mr. Douglas tells the bulldozers to continue going. Turbo gets in their way and is kind of like chasing them off. But they're like, look, I'm not going to hurt a kid. Like, I'm out of here. And so the foreman tells all the bulldozers to leave. So they all turn around and they take off, which everybody celebrates. It's a big victory. Now, about that time, the news shows up. So...
Right.
And the news crews show up and are saying, wow, you know, here's this group of kids. They are here for their community center, and they just fought off these people. You know, it's such an amazing thing they're doing. And then, like, what do you think about that? So all of these guys who just conspired are like, uh-oh, I can't really say anything. So Randall backs out of the sale with Douglas. He says there was some sort of a snafu, so it's not going to go through, which,
yes,
Mr. Douglas is pissed about.
He says snafu.
Yes. It is snafu.
Snafu.
And so then he's like, sorry, it's an election year, and this would be a PR nightmare.
Right.
And so Douglas, he is, you know, pissed until the newscaster asks him something, and he is like, uh-oh. So he says, we have no plan on destroying the rec center.
This Channel 3 has a lot of power.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they do.
I'm like, okay, right, whatever.
Everybody backs away from these millions of dollars of plans.
I know that they've planned forever.
But a couple of people have said they don't like me anymore.
That they have every legal right to do this, right?
Yes, they do. Well, presumably because... it was held in, you know, before their grace period was up,
right,
or it was, and who knows?
I don't know.
But
the plot's a little weak.
Yeah. So Mr. Douglas says, "Uh-oh, we're gonna scrap our plans," and that he's gonna donate $10,000 to their fund.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
Yeah.
And then all, yay, of a sudden we get this.
Well, good.
No, you go ahead.
Let's see. So they're talking to the kids. And Ozone tells all the viewers, hey, we're holding this festival tonight. You guys should be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's asking him to go. And you see him kind of prepping for it. That's the other thing, too. Turbo, now he, keep in mind, he's broken his leg. What, it was either the day before or the day of.
Oh, the day of.
Right.
Or the
he
day before.
He just escaped. And then he has everybody cut his cast off.
Yes.
Because that's how broken legs and other, mm-hmm, limbs work.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to cut it off because he needs to dance. And so now it's
Day of the Festival. It's just like when Casey Kasem was there at the diner and he was at the dance competition and like Screech and Lisa wanted to perform and they were like, oh, but he's in a cast. And like Lisa's like, oh, I'll do the sprain. And he's like, everyone do the sprain. Oh my God, I'm doing it again with the Saved by the Bell.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Oh, I'm so sorry. God.
It's all right.
What did you call it? Saved by the Bell palsy?
Saved by the Bell palsy.
Oh, sorry. Palsy, Mark Palsy Gosler.
Mark Palsy Gosler.
Mm. Keep going.
It's that later that day they're holding the festival. They finally got around to it. And so they're opening it. So Ice-T is the opening act.
That's right. 10 days late, but you finally got ready for the festival. Right.
So
way to get on the ball, folks.
So he opens the festivities, and they have all sorts of different dancers who are coming on. Doing all these numbers.
Now, let me tell you, I don't know how old Ice-T is in this movie. I'm not assuming he's that old. Still has that mustache. Still rocking that stash.
He doesn't look young either, though. That's he looks younger than he does now.
Yeah.
But not young. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Kelly's parents are watching this at home, and they see her on TV. And her dad goes, you know what? He's like, kudos, these kids, they're really fighting
for
us. Who
the hell are you?
Yeah, right? It was like really weird change. He's like,
I don't know.
He goes, you know what? Kudos to them. They're fighting for what they believe in. And the mom goes, yeah, but we taught Kelly to do the same thing, right? And he goes, you know what? Yeah, we did. Come on. We're heading down there.
What is going on?
So he takes off and he calls his wife Mrs. Bennett.
Come on, Mrs. B.
Yeah, or Mrs. B. Well, you know, let's get down there. Mm-hmm. So they take off.
Come on, Mrs. B. Let's open a furniture store.
I'll fart and drive over here with my golf cart.
That's for all you Nebraska listeners out there. Oh.
So now I'm Mrs. B.
How we get these prices so damn low?
I'm going to hit you with my hover round.
Oh, my God.
So we're back to the dancers. Everybody's dancing.
Zoom.
And then we get to...
I can't get over that.
When we get to... the electro rockers come up, and they join the miracle dancers.
Yeah.
And do, like, a big dance number. Around that time, Kelly's family then shows up. And says how proud they are of her and everybody, really, for doing this.
Yes.
And
especially that Ozone.
Yeah.
We're proud of him, too, the most.
Zip.
And
zip.
Then and he zips up.
But they say, you know what, like, you
his
don't.
His go-to move.
He's just on the stage zipping his pants.
Zip, zip, zip. Zip, zip. Zip, zip, zip. Here, we'll write $50,000 for you.
That better be what I think it is.
That better be what I think it is. Oh, it is.
So, he says he's proud of them. You know, they've gone through this. He says you don't have to go to Princeton. As a matter of fact, if you want to dance, I want you to dance.
What?
Yeah, right. And he donates the last $50,000 they need. He donates it to them. So... They hand the check up there, and the rec center is saved.
Magically.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
It's a Stallone miracle.
I think he waits until they stop the festival, then he cancels the check.
Cancels the check.
They're still short, and then he just laughs all the way.
And then he laughs all the way with his white pride.
But that's really the end of the movie. So
yeah, I mean, you've been deuced on that.
Yeah.
There's a lot
I think
of dancing.
Patti LaBelle sings again, and then...
The Pointless Sisters come on.
Yeah, the Pointless Sisters.
They sing a song.
Yeah.
The credits roll. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. It's a basic plot.
Yeah.
It's Save the Rec Center.
Yes. It's a pretty standard
trope. Yeah. But they don't do a good job saving the rec center. I don't even think they saved it. I mean, they did. They got. They raised the money, but I don't even know if they saved it.
No. So, I don't know. TLC Pap or whatever that band's name was. They probably.
So let's see what other people have to think about this movie. Okay. Mac Daddy Spliffs gives it a 1 out of 10. You can reach Mac Daddy Spliffs, spelled SPLIFFS, at AOL.com if you want to, if it still exists.
Let me get my time machine.
Yeah, get your time machine out. They say, I actually blocked most of this movie from my mind, much as a person would block any traumatic incident in their life that left them scarred. The only slightly redeeming factor I can remember is that Ice-T was in the cast. But even for agreeing to be in the film, he should have been put in the whole body cast. I was around 1 or 12 when I watched this, but I remember even then being a preteen and loving hip-hop and the style suffering through this movie. I haven't seen it ever played on cable or even in a discount DVD rack. Thank God. In fact, if you do see it on a rack, I'd pick it up, put it in your cart, sneak it into a public restroom, and spare the public by flushing it.
You know, I thought that somebody whose name was whatever Spliff would be a lot more mellow and not so bitchy.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's uncalled for.
That's uncalled for.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to call bullshit. I don't think that Spaceman Spliff or whatever the fuck his name is actually watched this.
Spaceman Spliff? Mac Daddy Spliff.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter.
He will make you jump.
I don't think Richard Spliff watched this. I don't think he ever watched the movie. I think he went through the people.
Richard Spliff from from the East Wing? Okay.
So I think he looked through the cast list. He found the one person
that he knew.
Yeah. And then was just like, oh, it's terrible. I'm.
Mac Daddy sounds like Stewie from, from Family Guy. Okay, this person gave it.
Spliffany Amber Thiessen or whatever his name is.
Are you having a Mark Paul Gosselaar moment?
Yes. You can reduce the symptoms by having a Spliffany Amber Thiessen.
Okay, this person Spliffany Amber Thiessen. Okay, this person gave it a 10 out of 10, and it's just labeled movie. that is their title of their review. Movie. It's from Rain3101. It says, Breakin' 2 is a wonderful movie with wonderful purpose to it, where kids can be kids, and music and dance were once fun, and people get along, people don't get along, and people try to take things over and shut them down because they got money, and they think the kids don't, which is crap and bull. They shouldn't be so mean. It's not right to brag that you're rich when there are people who aren't and have no money, period. Just not right. This movie shows us that it's rock. 10 of 10 is just right for kids and adults to watch together, so I'm enjoying it. I'm actually reading it with, the pauses not in there because that's how they wrote it. Ozone and Turbo are great to Kelly. All of the Gang is very good for the movie of its time. Hopefully it will be around for my son to watch it when he gets older, for he can enjoy it like I did when I was younger. And now I'm younger, I can enjoy it.
What?
Well, keep in mind, they entitled it Movie.
Movie.
They're like, I've watched one movie.
What's this person's name again?
Rain3101.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So Rain Pryor really liked Breaking 2.
God, what a bunch of word salad.
Oh, it was a word salad, but I'm sorry,
that's ridiculous, dude. Like, at one point, he gets really mad at Mr. Douglas, like he's... Like a legitimate fucking real person. He's just like,
kind of is.
Quit bragging about your money, Douglas.
You have money, Douglas. Stop.
Douglas. Stop. Some people's rec centers are getting torn down, Douglas.
All right. Let's do our five questions.
All right. So what do you think is the best part of this movie?
The shack scene, the dance shack scene.
The dancing on the ceiling.
The
moment.
Dancing on the ceiling shack scene. The colorfulness of the movie itself had bright colors.
It is. It's
even their
vibrant.
Outfits had bright colors. Yeah. Mr. Douglas was not my favorite part.
No, he was not.
Go ahead.
I also said that room scene. And really, the dancing is... It's pretty good. Throughout.
For the time, the dancing is. Yes. I mean, the break dancing is a little outdated. Yes.
Yeah.
But for the time, the dancing is fine. I think Kelly's the least dancer in this movie. She's not that
good. So great. I think her whole thing is she's supposed to be more of like the... She's like the classically trained one who like offsets their popping and locking.
Whatever. Huh?
Yeah.
There's not a lot to like say is really good about this movie. Having said that, it's a fun movie to watch to just kind of, I don't know, like I kind of agree with movie.
It's like the Apple.
Yeah.
To me. Like, I watch The Apple. It's not a good movie.
It's schlock.
Yeah, but it makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh,
It's because we goof around when we watch it.
Yeah.
We have fun doing that.
Yeah.
And I could see where this movie, I'd have fun, like, just being like, what the hell is happening when stuff's going on?
But there are those legit scenes like the shack spinning around.
Oh, that's
pretty
really
cool.
Good.
Go ahead.
Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
I think that you could reboot this. I don't want to, though.
I think continue.
Like as a series?
So here's what I would do. Continue it now. And put it up against like dancers from like Step Up to the Streets.
Okay.
And so I have these guys who are like, Oh, I'm popping and locking. And, like, this other group is, like...
Hairography.
Yeah, is insane. And then have them be, like, oh. And almost have it be, like, a joke that it's, like, there's so much off the track of where the other ones are. And then, like, build it up from there.
These dance movies are hard for me because they almost become dated very easily.
Yeah.
Through their dancing. Because dancing is always evolved. I mean, it's an art form that's supposed to evolve. So having said that, I think that doesn't make it prevalent to continue it. Do you know what I mean?
I think you do, but it's almost as... Not like necessarily taking it seriously.
You really can't take this seriously. There's nothing that you can take serious about this movie.
Right, and I think you'd play up on that.
Yeah.
You could embrace that and continue it. Uh-huh. So... do you think this movie stands on its own?
It's a simple plot, so yes, I think it does.
See, I said no.
Really?
Because I have no fucking clue about what's going on with Kelly or the two.
Like, why do you have to know? I mean, all you have to really know is they have to save the rec center.
Well, I get that, but there's no, like, usually in these other movies, you're like, oh, hey, it's where they bump into somebody or meet them or whatever. Okay. Like, she walks up and she's like, hey, guys, and, like, hugs and kisses. Yeah,
I just assume that they know each other.
Yeah. No, I think it doesn't.
Okay, I think it does.
But there's not really that much substance in general for it.
Right, that's why I think it does.
That's why I think it doesn't. I don't think it builds up on that. Does this make you want to see the first one?
Yes! I want to watch the first one.
So, this doesn't make me want to watch the first
one. It makes me.
Kerry Russell makes me want to watch the first one.
Kerry Russell does not make me want to watch the first
one. What? Why not?
Because I want to watch the first one based on this movie. I do. I don't know why. I enjoyed kind of just not really making fun of this movie, but enjoying it in a very cheesy way.
Yeah.
And if the first movie is anything like that, sure, I'll go for the ride.
Yeah.
Having said that, I don't think I'd sit there and watch it over and over again like it would The Apple. The Apple, I could watch the shit out of that movie over and over again.
It's The Apple.
And it is crappy.
Apple. Yeah. It's where you see the actual factual vampire. Two words to describe this movie.
You first.
So should I go with the obvious? Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, you got it. Two words. I don't know. I couldn't even think of my two words. I guess my two words are dance. dance.
Just twice?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they just danced to save the rec center. And they saved that rec center.
I had backup words, too, just in case.
Okay, can I have them?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Pop.
Pop.
Lock.
Lock. Those are my two words.
Yeah, they earned their bread and butter doing the popping and the locking.
Oh, did they ever. Oh, my God.
And they do it well.
Throw some gravy on that bread, too. Ooh.
Yeah.
It is crazy. This movie, like we said, you cannot stream this anywhere.
Right.
So if you do want to watch this movie, shell out the bucks for it.
It was actually very reasonable Amazon. I got it.
So it was very reasonable for a Blu-ray. So you can buy that if you want to. I say can watch the first one and then watch the second one. You say skip.
No, I say watch it.
Okay.
I said watch it. I would watch it because of Kerry Russell, not because of...
Okay. Why do you say that, though? Because of I told you about the interview that you had? How her brother watched...
Yeah, Kerry Russell and her brother watch it every year or whatever.
And they have, like, breakdancing names?
Yes.
God, I love that.
That makes amazing. I get really excited about that.
And I want to know if some of the... Because I swear maybe some of these characters aren't in the first one. I don't know.
Which ones?
Maybe not the actor. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But whatever. So that concludes our dance movies, right, Jeremy?
Yes, we are done.
Where can people find us at?
You can find us.
You tell everyone why I pop and lock.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Go. I appreciate your commitment to really popping and locking while people are listening. You could just make the sounds of me fine. Anyway, but...
No, I'm popping and locking.
I see that. You can find us at the Deuce Podcast. Please stop.
At popandlockbeam.com.
You can find us at Deuce Podcast.
At popandlockbeam.com.
Good night. You can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Oh.
It's Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Music. Perfect.
And remember. Oh, what are we doing? What do we got going on?
Oh, so for most of December, we're going to do Christmas movies.
Yeah? Like what?
You would have to ask that.
I know.
I don't have my list in front of me.
So I think we're going to do a Home Alone 2.
Hang Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Lost in New York.
Correct.
Santa Claus 2.
Yeah.
Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2, baby.
Yep. And Batman Begins. Batman Returns.
No, Batman Begins is...
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Batman Returns.
All right. So stay tuned for those. And remember, the sequel is king.
Yeah.